This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 124. So today we are joined by Kevin Thompson of Open Look. It's a magazine publishing company. I said that really bad, but basically it's a niche market publishing company, predominantly digital, but also in hard copy. Really interesting story of Kevin being sent over here from California in 2010 and his journey since then down in Cebu in the Philippines, within a context of obviously the media magazine sector, which is going through so much change, especially in that period of 2010 until now. So really interesting conversation. I'm sure you will enjoy. If you want any of the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/124. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, we're joined by Kevin Thompson of Open Look, which is a niche publishing agency here down in Cebu in the Philippines. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Derek. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me today.
A pleasure. A pleasure. So I want to... I'm sort of interested by your model in that it's sort of a relatively traditional outserviced vertical, but you know it's blending kind of hard copy magazines with the sort of back end production. So it'd be really interesting to get your insight into exactly what you do. I suppose initially, Kevin, do you mind just introducing yourself and how you came to be here in the Philippines?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm originally from Southern California in the U.S. and have moved out here to Cebu City back in 2010. At that time, I was working with a company that started an office out here and was tasked to come out here and help build an advertising sales team for a niche publisher in the U.S. actually. Did that for 2 years and kind of saw an opportunity to branch off and expand and provide these services to different publishers. At that time, the company that brought me out here, we were just an offshore model as opposed to outsourcing. So saw an opportunity, like I said, to service some other publishers out there in more of an outsourcing model.
Right. Yeah. And just to sort of clarify, it is all hard copy magazine publishing kind of products. Is that right?
Not particularly. No. Nowadays, you know, it's really common for publishers to be offering both the traditional print hard copy as well as some form of a digital publication. So with technology nowadays, those files translate very well to a printed format and then are really easy to upload and turn in digital.
Right. And just to rewind a little bit, and I suppose on a personal level, you were sent out from sunny California to Cebu City. What did you think coming over here? And like Manila has come a long way in 8 years, but I imagine Cebu was a pretty kind of basic place back in 2010, was it?
Oh my goodness, man. This city itself has exploded. You know, and when I first came out here, I've never really traveled much. I can't say I've really been... spent any amount of time outside of Southern California. So, you know, there was definitely some shock a little bit. There was some shock value, I must say, when I first came. But, you know, one of the things I love most about the Philippines in general is just the culture is so accommodating. You know, it's really hard not to get welcomed in at first moment. So it really made that transition really nice.
Yeah, and you've seen it grow a lot then? Like, is it...
Oh, yeah.
How do you see the growth? Like, what are examples of obvious growth?
I mean, just from the business perspective is, you know, in terms of the buildings, the actual physical buildings, I mean, these things are growing up like weeds, it seems like. Every time you turn around, there's a new, you know, business building that's getting put up. And then, you know, of course, the residential side of it. Yeah. You know, and all the retail, the malls and everything. So, I mean, the city has really expanded in the last 8 years. very noticeably.
It's incredible, and you know that reflects in the country generally, doesn't it? Because there is, for the listeners out there, there's kind of a 6 to 8% annual growth rate sustained year on year. So there's really quite incredible growth, and you do see that. You see that in the
Yeah,
buildings, in
exactly.
the business parks, in the restaurants, and it's just really trucking ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And why Cebu then? Why did your guys send you there? And you know, did you then consider your future moves in reference to Manila or Cebu, or was it just that, you know, that's how it happened?
Kind of how it happened. We were working with a company that sent us out here, and that's where they got started. So we were familiar. I had already been stationed here at the time for about 2 years. So it just kind of made sense real easy. We've kicked around ideas of other locations, but and as we expand and continue to grow the business, we're definitely considering things like, other areas of the Philippines. But it was kind of just one of those things where Cebu, we were here and just made sense.
Right. And then good. And so niche media production, is it, or publishing? Can you explain, I suppose, the background of that industry and what your, I suppose, the initial employers and what you saw as the opportunity to get that done here instead of back in the States?
Yeah, so simply put, the niche publishers were really, really focused content into a specific market, of course, right? So, I mean, and that can vary between, the stuff we do, for example, is fairly business to business heavy. We kind of found a road in there and have focused there, and it's kind of an underserviced industry from this type of model, meaning, the offshore and outsourcing model. Traditionally back home in the States, you have the publishers that just work in a traditional publishing house and they've got all their employees in-house. However, there is that freelance element. However, it's much more close, to where it's typically networking throughout the industry. You'll meet people that can overlap into a couple different verticals and things of that. But from more of the traditional kind of BPO and offshore and outsourcing model, there's not really many people that are specifically catering to the niche industry, the magazine industry specifically. So, it was something that, the previous company we were working with, it was a business move for them to transition and build this model. The owner was really big believer in outsourcing. So just saw the opportunity and kind of like I said, the industry being underserviced.
It is interesting because there's a contrast in the content generation generally. I think in the last 8 years has just exploded, hasn't it? You know, like everyone's pumping out kind of low quality content for their websites, but you have found a niche where, you know, within the sort of sector of content, you're finding a high value niche that is underserviced. It's kind of heartening, I suppose, to see that there are still kind of high value niches that need servicing, and there's a business opportunity there. Yeah.
There are, yeah, and you do hit on a good point, right? You are seeing the content generation being explored a little bit more heavily, as a singular piece of the publishing spectrum, I guess you could call it. You are seeing some of that content generation being offshored and things like that. But it's the other point you make is there's still a very viable market in these niche markets. Everybody, there's a semi misconception about publishing is really struggling and magazines are dying and going away and going to be taken over by the web, and it's not as true as you'd see. It's definitely a different industry from when I got first into it, 10, 12 years ago, with the expansion in technology and everything. But with the right niches and everything, I mean, there's it's still a very viable industry and still growing in many areas of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of the whatever they're called, like the big publishers, the magazines, the newspapers, a lot of them really have struggled, and they're having to change their business plan completely. But are you seeing resilience, and you know, how exactly does it fit in? Because I suppose, as you mentioned, like your magazines are kind of hard copy, but then also spanning onto the web as well. Do you see it's evolving, or it's not just an old man that is dying, it is just evolving, yeah?
It's definitely evolving, you know, and what that's going to look like over the next few years, I think, is still a little bit to be determined. You know, you mentioned newspapers, for example. So, and prior to that, you touched on the content. So, you know, with the technology nowadays, when you're talking about current events and trends and things of that sort, you get breaking news on your smartphone nowadays as quickly as it breaks, you know, between the social media or different applications. So those industries are really tough, you know. So from the content standpoint, it's important to get that targeted audience, you know, so that you can get them more relevant information for whatever it may be, their hobbies, their interests, their professions. It's definitely there is. When I first got into publishing, you were kind of starting to see the end of just being able to produce simply a magazine and that's it. So, you know, the publishers that you're seeing are doing the best are finding multiple ways to deliver this content, finding more than just a traditional, you know, article in a magazine these days to provide to people. There's more that can come with it. You know, data is something that's really playing a major role in publishing nowadays, to the point to where you're almost seeing some publishers, for lack of a better explanation, turn into more of like a marketing agency almost. You know, the magazine is just one vehicle to help people get their messages out, you know, and things like that. So you're seeing almost kind of a marketing aspect for businesses as well as just delivering content these days.
Yeah, there's so much crossover, isn't there? I mean, I suppose there always has to a degree, but yeah, it could be a marketing function or a PR function, but also I was actually going to ask you in terms of the kind of a lot of the content that we were previously talking about is for an SEO drive and to get Google noticing. Do you also work that into your, or is that now an expectation that if magazines go online, it's kind of all for the Google SEO monster, or, you know, is it sort of remaining a bit more pure from that?
You've got both aspects of it. I can't say that we are very heavy into that SEO angle and marketing online. You know, we do some web-based work, but I would not consider that as like a core function of us. And in many cases, these publishers are there's so many resources out there to help it and do it on a smaller scale. Now, the publishers that really understand that model and are able to keep up with, you know, it's an ever-changing function in a way, you know, to really stay at the top of your SEO rankings and things of that sort. Mm-hmm. So the guys that really understand it, yeah, it plays a much bigger role in theirs. And they definitely see the rewards from it, you know, as well. But I wouldn't necessarily consider it as a do-or-die type of thing. It's something definitely to give attention to, you know, but there are ways to kind of get around it a little bit and not have it be a focal point for your business model.
Right. And is it a big industry? Because, you know, funnily enough, I have been creating our consultation document, which is about 60,000 words and is extending over about 120 pages. And I have been trying to get this published in a sort of magazine-y come textbook layout with, you know, nice headers, information boxes and things like that. No one seems to have the skills, and it's been incredibly difficult to actually find either an agency or a contractor that actually seems to have that skill set. But actually, so I will talk to you after this podcast exactly about that. But how does it work? Do you find that they're quite rare skills? And then I suppose, relevant to that, how do you source your team, your members? Are you generally taking pretty green people and training them up in the industry?
Yes. Specifically for magazines, yes. You hit on it, and there's not a lot of people out here that have specific magazine experience. You know, we do struggle to find just the cookie cutter magazine designer, for lack of a better word, if you want to call it that. You know, there is definitely a training element that we have to invest in our people. You know, so we look for, you know, traditional graphic designers, people that are very, very familiar with, you know, graphic design tools and things of that sort. And then can use that ability, skill set, talent, and kind of patch in the magazine side of things. You know, it's different when it comes to design, you know, because you think of a designer or a graphic artist as somebody who's really creative and has the ability to kind of just work on a clean slate. However, you know, with a magazine, there's many magazines out there that have an established identity. So it's really important for them to maintain a consistent look and everything to really reach their audiences the way that they want to. So, you know, you kind of have some limitations in how creative you can get, you know. So it's really interesting from that element to where you're really trying to take these creative minds that, you know, can just think up these amazing ideas, but they have some slight parameters that they have to work into in order to properly cater to the audiences for the magazine.
Yeah, so it's quite a fascinating sector, isn't it? I mean, I've just been dabbling in it because actually I've been trying to do it myself. And you're kind of bound by, you need a bit of creativity for it to look good, but then you need a lot of structure for it, obviously, it to be uniform throughout the thing. It's fascinating, huh?
Yeah, it was really eye-opening for me, you know, my background being sales, that I had limited exposure prior to, you know, open look of the design element. So I've really dug in over the last few years, and it's learned a lot. I've got a new respect for the designers I've worked with over the years for the magazines. Yeah. They have to apologize to a few of them even.
Yeah. And I imagine like, we don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but it's a very different process to set up the initial template to mm-hmm. then kind of reproducing it and getting the content within the template. Is that right? Is that like a different kind of team or skill set?
Not necessarily, but it does take some back and forth, and you use the best term, right? Because you do kind of work on a fairly set template. So at that point, you know, it's really, you know, it takes a couple of revisions of going back and forth of really getting down that template. But then once you do that, it's fairly, I won't say automatic because I'll upset my team, but, it's much more manageable, I'll say, at that point.
Right. Fantastic. So Kevin, we're going to get you back, for another episode, and we're going to deep dive into Open Look and specifically about your business and the different skill sets it offers, and the value proposition there in terms of outsourcing. But until then, if people want to get in touch with you or Open Look, how can they do that?
Best way would be either visiting our website at open-look.com, or you can always email me at kevin@open-look.com are probably the two best ways.
Fantastic. Okay. Amazing. Thank you, Kevin. And all of that will be in the show notes. And I look forward to speaking to you again.
Yeah. Thanks, Derek. I appreciate it.
Okay, that was Kevin Thompson of Open Look. If you want to get in touch with Kevin, just check out our show notes. All of the contact details are there. You can find those at outsourceaccelerator.com/124. And of course, if you want to contact us, if you want to ask us anything, then drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.